I want to read to you from Mark chapter 4 and then flick over to 2 Corinthians, but we'll do that shortly. Mark chapter 4, verses 30 to 34. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like?" Or what parable shall we use to describe it? "It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. Let us pray together. Father, we ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to move in our hearts now, anoint the preaching of your word, and give us receptive hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen. What do you hope for in 2018? It's an important question. What do you hope for? What do you want most? What would you like if you had a wish list that could be fulfilled? I would suggest that the answer to that varies from person to person, from seat to seat, depending very much on what your experiences of 2017 have been like. For some of you, that's been a tremendous year. I know that a number of you have come to faith. You have spoken about your need of Jesus, even in my company, and we've had the opportunity to pray together and for you to be led to the Lord. So 2017 was a year of spiritual transformation, and you'll never forget that particular year. Other very notable and excitable things have happened to you in 2017. For some of you, it may have been a change of job or career or an opportunity at work. Others, it might be a new relationship that you entered into with someone. The prospects have been good, and you've lived each day with the joy of living. You've looked out at life and you have been blessed, and you've given God thanks for that. For some of you, 2017 has been the most difficult of all years. You certainly wouldn't have scripted it to be like that. Many of the pressures that you experienced were external, pressures that you had no control over. For some of you, you will have experienced loss. A loss that you had not been prepared for, or even if prepared, found it difficult to cope with. Some will have lost jobs. There may be some who were even concerned about using the word hope, because you're too frightened to hope for 2018 in case you experience disappointment. None of us know what 2018 will bring. But one thing is for certain, it will not be the same as 2017. No year is the same, because the reality of life is that we are growing, experiencing different things, and therefore our spiritual perspective needs to determine very much how we see 2018, regardless of what happens. want to read to you, and if you want to turn to it, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let the light shine out of darkness," made his light shine into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. How these two things are so contrasted, death and life. It seems ironic in the midst of what Paul is describing as death, there is the abundance of life. And it's to do with our perspective, to do with our trust, to do with our confidence in God. 2017 may have been such a challenging year, but you did not crumble. And you will have experienced exactly, if you're a believer, what Paul is talking about here. That life, though it can get extremely tough, God makes certain promises that if we are trusting in him, he will fulfill. We are hard pressed on every side. So there may be those that are experiencing pressure. We are perplexed or confused. We are perhaps struck down. But in none of these things have we been overwhelmed or overpowered. Paul says, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. He lists four things that can potentially render us broken. And there may be times in our lives that we experience one of these things. We may be experiencing pressure. We may be going through a time of doubt or confusion. We may experience the persecution or opposition of other people in our lives. We may be feeling struck down. But in each and every of these situations, he says it will not destroy you. It will not break you. And the wonderful thing about what Paul is describing is that for most of us, we experience one of these things for a period or season in our life. But Paul would be as bold to suggest that even if we experienced all of these things in the same season in life, None of them would be able to destroy us, regardless of what 2018 brings. You could be experiencing pressure. You could be struck down. You could be confused. You could experience opposition, and yet you could be victorious. Life could be at work in you, which would seem almost impossible because of the circumstances, and would be impossible if God was not present in our lives. What gives you the greatest hope for 2018 is that God walks with you, regardless of how 2018 pans out. And though 2017 may have been exceptionally difficult and a year that you would never want to repeat, did you buckle? Have you stopped coming to worship God? Have you given up in the faith? No, you've still continued to trust God regardless of the pressures that you have been experiencing. Regardless of the confusion or the doubt that you may have been undergoing. Regardless of the opposition that you have encountered. Regardless of being struck down. J.B. Phillips says, knocked down but not out. Knocked down but not knocked out. And you may be looking up from the canvas, but at least you're looking upward. The canvas forces you to look in one direction. You may not have wished to have been on the canvas, but when you're on the canvas, you're looking upwards. And that's where we need to look. Every time we experience things that we would never have planned or never scripted for our lives, God is there in the midst of it, bringing life into that situation. So don't panic. Don't look at 2018 with dread or with fear. God walks into it with you. And he makes those promises that no matter what you're experiencing, he will go with you. So whatever you're hoping for, if your hope is in God, then you need not fear. Flicking to Mark 4. Again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when you plant it, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in it, in its shade. How are these two passages this morning related? How do I relate them? Well, the seed, the mustard seed, is the smallest of all seeds. It looks very fragile. It looks very vulnerable. You'd wonder what could ever come out of such a seed. And when you look at it, it looks like nothing. It offers no hope because it has not been transformed. But the seed is planted nonetheless. And the moment you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit was deposited in your life. And it doesn't matter how fragile or vulnerable that life is, like the little seed. And you may have a perception of yourself that you have very little to offer, very little to give. You can't stand up at the front. You can't preach. You can't do all the things that you perceive other people to be able to do. But yet God is doing something in your life, and it's called life. Every day you experience things in your life. And they're unique to your set of circumstances and situations. No two people in here are going through exactly the same thing. We're all experiencing life. And we'll experience its joys, and we'll experience its times of gratitude and thanksgiving. We'll experience the joy of great things that happen to us, the things that bring us great pleasure. And we'll laugh together, and we'll do memorable things together, and we'll have good moments together, and life offers those type of things. But what about those things that we mention in 2 Corinthians? What happens when we're under pressure? What happens when we're confused or perplexed? What happens when we face opposition or we are struck down? We always carry in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our bodies. So that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our bodies. Verse 12, so then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Out of the most vulnerable situations, out of the most fragile of environments, like a seed that's planted, like a little mustard seed that's planted in the ground. If you allow God to be present in those times, the wonderful transformation of His presence in your life will mean that you will grow and develop and mature and become strong. These situations do not have to break you, they can make you. These situations are not scripted so that you become despairing or overwhelmed by doubt or rendered incapable of getting up from the canvas. These situations are permitted under God so that you can grow and develop. And begin to trust God and begin to depend upon God in every circumstance of your life. It is only through these pressures that great things are done. Now this pressure is the same pressure that would be applied in a wine press. Or when people are trampling out grapes. The grapes are being put under pressure. You might think that they're almost being destroyed. Wouldn't it be better if we just plucked the grapes and ate them? But through this process of pressure being applied, because the Israelites relied on the grape and the vine so that they could drink, it was being transformed into something that was useful and pleasurable to them. But through the process of pressing and the necessity of this pressing, the transformation brought nurture and quenching of their thirst and the essentials of their daily living. How do you perceive your pressure? If you perceive it as a moment of transformation, then that pressure can be of great value to you. Why? Well, according to the parable of the mustard seed, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. What you hope for in 2018 is that you grow from a small mustard seed to produce large branches. Not so that people can marvel at how wonderful you look, but the shade that you can provide. And the shade that you can provide will be born out of your experiences of God and your experiences of life. And you will be able, under God's Spirit, to allow 2017, which might have been the most difficult of all years for you, to be the beginning of a new year of 2018. Where your life experiences, rather than bringing resentment and embitterment and disablement, can be an opportunity for you to provide cover and shade and hope to other people. Your spiritual transformation under the grace of God is necessary not only to bring glory to God, but to bring hope to others. For if you can survive the most pressurized of environments and produce something at the end of it that nurtures others, just like the wine press, if you can be struck down and get up, if you can be confused and yet trust in God, if you can face opposition and yet be resilient, do you not offer hope to your neighbor and to your friends? Can you not be the mentor that God intends you to be, or the branches that you need to display so that others can take cover in your shade? Is that what you hope for? That in 2018, you can be a place of healing for others too. A place of hope. Because you don't know what you're going to experience, and neither do I. You don't know what challenges lie ahead of you. None of us do. But if we're trusting God, then the challenge will bring growth. The challenge will strangely bring life in the midst of what others would see as death or decay. And we will flourish. And because we flourish, others can be provided for. Others can take comfort in the shade that is given. Let me put a challenge out to you and to myself as I seek to do that. Wouldn't it be wonderful if 2018 was not what happened to us, but what happened in us? Not what happened to us, but what happened in us. And our response to that. See, I cannot control what happens to me in life. Only God can. But what I do have a measure of control over through the power of His Spirit is how I respond to it. My reaction to it. And so do all of us. And the world is watching. Because unless we can respond in a way that brings hope, what hope is there? Since we're the only living testimony that other people will watch or read, how we live life and how we live it with God has an impact on others. Now let me put a challenge out to the more mature Christians among us. How are we going to live 2018 to produce an investment in others? Healing? I want to see spiritual health in those that I rub shoulders with on a daily basis. I want you to be evident in me. Who are you going to pray for this year? Who are you going to walk with? Who are you going to invest your life into so that they run and do not become weary? Who are you going to leave a legacy to? Because that would make 2018 God's year. Let's walk into it together with the hope of the gospel, with the grace of God, and with the power of His Spirit. Let's pray.